From That Cast Creative, I'm Dan Bruton, and this is the PDX Executive Podcast. A show where I talk with inspiring leaders who are shaping the future of Portland, Oregon. Every week, I sit down with business executives, startup founders, and community leaders to dive into their career journey and get insights into the impactful work they're doing in our slice of the great Pacific Northwest. Hey everyone, welcome back to the PDX Executive Podcast. I'm excited to have my next guest on. I caught on to him from Stephen Green, who I've had Stephen on the podcast a couple times, and hopefully you're all familiar with Stephen's work. So excited to have Ivan McClellan, the author of 8 Seconds, Black Rodeo Culture, on the show. Hey, Ivan.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, you bet. I have a lot to talk to you about. And again, you know, I caught on to you from, I think, a post on LinkedIn, maybe some photos. I know you're a photojournalist and designer as well that Stephen shared. And, you know, I shared with you before the show, I grew up in a more rural part of the state. So always like going to rodeos and, you know, now up here in Portland, and it's just cool to see the work you're doing. So to start, I would love to just learn a little bit about you. Do you mind just telling us a little about your, career journey and the work you do now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, shout out to Steve Green. He's a great guy. We always run into each other at events because we're both out there squeezing hands and trying to get what we're trying to get our projects done. So we become buddies pretty organically by bumping into each other frequently. You know, my background is in advertising and marketing. I'm a user experience designer with about 15 years experience. So I've worked on campaigns for Nike, of course. I've worked for campaigns for Adidas. I did a big rebrand for the U.S. National Soccer Federation a few years back and did campaigns for the Women's World Cup. I've done a hotel and casino in Vegas called The Palms, working on service design and the experience of that hotel and also all of their digital surfaces. So that's where a lot of my knowledge and expertise lies is in those fields. Most recently in that space worked for a company called AKQA. They're a big multinational advertising firm, and I was a associate UX director there. So while doing that work, I really got into photography and would do photo projects on the side all the time. Like, I would lurk in the streets of Portland, walking around taking street photos for years. I would leave work, take photos for 3 hours in downtown Portland, just meeting people and getting to know them a little bit and snapping some shots. I was doing that around 2015 when I ran into a filmmaker named Charles Perry. And he told me that he was working on a film about Black cowboys, which I knew nothing about. I'm from Kansas. I know about cowboy culture like you. I grew up going to rodeos, and we would ride horses in our church clothes after church on Sunday at a little ranch nearby. But, you know, and I had watched Westerns, and I'm a big fan of the movie Tombstone. But I didn't know that Black cowboys were a thing until 2015 when I went with Charles to a Black rodeo in a little town called Oklahoma, Oklahoma. And I saw thousands of Black cowboys there. And it was just this extraordinary culture that blended hip hop culture with, you know, church culture that I was used to and cowboys. People were wearing Jordans on their horse. People were wearing gold chains. Women had braids blowing back behind them while they were going 40 miles an hour on a horse. It was extraordinary, and I got obsessed with it and kept going back and started doing brand work for all the big Western brands that wanted to diversify. So I did work for Wrangler and Boot Barn and Stetson, Ariat, just every big Western brand I worked for. And still do a boot company called Tecovas. I've done a lot of work for them. And I started to get really good relationships with the cowboys as well. I started an Instagram account. I think we have like 21,000 followers of people that are really passionate about this culture or engaged in this culture. And I was like, well, I've got an audience. I've got brands. I've got relationships with cowboys. If you put all those together, you got a rodeo. And then we did a rodeo last year.
Yeah. So tell me about the rodeo last year. I think you, was it kind of like a bolt-on at the St. Paul rodeo here, or if I'm remembering correctly, and I might not be.
It was a month before St. Paul in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
We had it at the Expo Center. So it was the 8 Seconds Juneteenth rodeo. We had it on June 17th last year, and we had about 2,500 people there.
Wow.
We sold out 10 days before the event. It was a resounding success. You know, people were losing their minds in the arena. I was the announcer because I couldn't find an announcer. I didn't take photos at my own rodeo, but I like set it up for photography. There was beautiful lighting in there. The lighting was like directional, so it was brighter on one side than it was on the other. And we had a really diverse crowd. I would say about 60% of the people in there were Black, but then there were a lot of Hispanic folks. There were a lot of white people there as well. And everybody was just elbow to elbow cheering for these athletes. Yeah. And it was really an exciting time. We had a mechanical bull. We had a guy teaching roping lessons. We had shaved ice, vendors. You know, it was just like an extraordinary community-driven event. It was a big learning curve for me to do a rodeo from scratch. You know, it was, how much does dirt cost? How much does 40 dump truck loads of dirt cost? Like, how do you book a venue like the Expo Center? I didn't know how to do any of those things, but just push forward and got it done.
So tell me about this year's.
This year is going to be at a bigger venue. It's going to be at the Veteran Memorial Coliseum, and we're going to have about 7,000 people there this year. People are already clamoring for tickets because they sold out so fast. Wow. Last year, and everybody wanted to get in last minute. So we were like, let's scale up. Let's get as many people in as we can. But I'm anticipating that the tickets are going to go pretty fast this year. You know, we're going to be bucking bulls. We're going to be riding barrels. We're going to do steer wrestling. We only do 5 events. We're going to do mutton busting, kids on sheep. My daughter cool. won that competition last year, so she's looking to defend her title in 2024. She's really excited about it. It's just going to be an extraordinary time. We're going to have great music, great food, and most importantly, great community in that space.
Kudos to you for doing that. And I would love to learn, you know, as you've been doing this project, and especially with the books and traveling around the country, and maybe specific to Oregon too, just a little bit, you know, what people don't know about Black rodeo culture and where it's been ingrained in. So I don't know if anything you can share about that.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know anything about Black cowboy culture. And like I said, it just had its own unique vibe. The way that people wear their hat is a little bit different, right? You know, the way the hats are shaped, the tilt of the hat, all of that stuff is specific to the cowboys, the jewelry that they wear, the lingo. All of these things are different than what you'll see in traditional cowboy culture and specific to Black culture. But at the end of the day, these cowboys are cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know, they got rough hands. They got a lot of grit. They're fiercely independent. They're stand by what they do. They're loyal, you know, and they kind of live by the cowboy code, like cowboys of any race are. They just do it with a little bit different swagger and a little bit different step. So, you know, it, like every rural culture on the planet, it's fading away slowly. Less people are getting engaged in the culture, and a lot of folks are aging out of it. So I feel a sense of urgency to let people know that this exists, that there are young people engaged in it, that it is exciting, and hopefully inspire more young folks to get engaged with it so I can keep shooting this into my 70s, you know, because I love it. I have a vision of, you know, one day opening a stable in Portland and having Black kids ride around the streets of Portland on horses. You know, I think that'd be extraordinary.
Well, just the fact that, did you say 7,000? You sold 7,000 tickets last year?
Last year we did 2,500 tickets. This year we have 7,000 capacity in the arena.
But you're expecting, I mean, that will sell out. So just, I mean, to me, I mean, to the fact that there is that demand, I think it sounds like still a strong appetite for folks, right? And you know, I'm sure a lot of the folks that join don't know much about rodeo culture or anything. So, I mean, what do you think it is that people are so interested in it in general now?
You know, I think people are curious. It, you know, Black cowboy culture has really entered into the zeitgeist in the last few years since we've been doing this work. Beyonce's doing a country album.
Yeah.
Pharrell just, who's the creative director of Louis Vuitton, just did a runway show centering around Black cowboys and indigenous cowboys. And there's just a lot of conversation about this. Ever since like Lil Nas X did Old Town Road, it's really like blown up into mainstream culture. And people have seen this icon of the cowboy hat on a Black face. And I think a lot of Black folks are excited about it. Everybody's kind of curious about it. And people want to know how to get engaged. And I think the rodeo is an outlet for you to go to Boot Barn and get your own hat. You know, go get your own boots, right, and engage in the culture. Frankly, a lot of the people that came to the rodeo were women. I would say like 70% of the attendees last year were women. I think they came because the cowboys are good looking, you know. I think that's definitely part of it. You know, it's Juneteenth, and Juneteenth is now a nationally recognized holiday. And in Portland, it's an opportunity for us to gather as a community. Yeah. You know, Black folks in Portland are kind of spread out. And so a way to commemorate that day and celebrate freedom is another big part of it.
And you have this great, you know, design and brand background. You said you've gotten some brands involved. I mean, how has that support been? I mean, it sounds like pretty strong, but I mean, I'm just curious, like when you put it on your advertising, you know, marketing hat, I'm just curious, those conversations. And
yeah, it's, you know, it's a grind every day. You know, I'm like full-time salesman now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I was never a biz dev guy, but now I'm like every day. I was at a call before this, you know, just like talking about sponsorship for a big organization in Oregon, and talking to national brands is interesting. Like Western brands, they sponsor a lot of rodeos, and they're just kind of like, what's so special about your rodeo? And so we have to really like differentiate ourselves and really describe who our audience is. And regardless of what we're doing, if it's a dog show or it's a juggling contest, like we've got a great audience that you want to engage with. It just so happens to be an event that's really exciting and that has a lot of purpose. But from a marketer's perspective, they're just sort of like, who's there? How much money do they have? How much are they going to spend of that money on my product? And so we have to tell that story pretty strongly and really well with a lot of different brands. Since we haven't gotten as much love from traditional Western brands as I would like, we're really reaching out to brands that have never engaged in rodeo and saying like, hey, welcome in. This is cool. You should be excited about this. You should be excited about our audience. And we're having a lot of success with that. And we're having a lot of people come on board that you would never expect to sponsor a rodeo.
Well, that's the cool part. I kind of have a marketing background too. And, you know, entrepreneurship wise, it seems like there's an opportunity for a lot of new brands and new companies just in general to come out of this. So I don't know if you're seeing that or anything else you're doing, you could share, you planned for, you know, new projects as well. But I'm curious on just the entrepreneurship side of this with the radio and the culture, if that's kind of taking off.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have ambitions to really nail and create a scalable model in Portland. You know, that's something that we really want to do is always have the rodeo in Portland, always have this be our flagship event, but take the learnings and take all the infrastructure that we build around the rodeo and scale it out to different cities, which is appealing to a lot of newer brands and a lot of marketers. It's like, hey, we're gonna go to a bigger market. We're gonna go to the East Coast, you know, which is like there's no rodeos on the East Coast. Like after you pass the Mississippi, rodeo just like isn't a thing.
Really?
So we're excited to move to the Brooklyn, you know, that's my goal is to get to Brooklyn, to the Barclays Center.
Wow.
And do an event there. But I want to do one in Kansas City, which is my hometown. We're in Indianapolis right now. This would be a really exciting place to have a rodeo because the city is so committed to sport. So yeah, there's a lot of entrepreneurship, a lot of ambition. There's a lot of getting creative with sponsorship. I think last year, most of our sponsorship dollars were in kind. So bringing okay. in brands like, bringing in companies like Wieden Kennedy, who did all of our design and marketing, bringing in folks like Portland Gear, who did all of our merch, Pacific Office Automation did all of our banners and all of our printing, and underwrote TV ads and stuff like that. So, you know, getting people engaged in ways that aren't just like dollars is really important for us. And then taking all of those learnings and scaling them are our ambitions.
Yeah. But just getting back to the roots of it, I love that mission of, you mentioned kind of the, you know, the cowboy code. It's like, it, I don't know what is resonating more about right now, but it seems like getting back to, just like you said, it's for a lot of folks, the grit, and then infused with the own flavor of the different cultures, it's really appealing to people. And especially in Oregon, and I'm seeing it just in different, you know, things, not just rodeo, but so I love that. And it seems like it's kind of for you, like, you know, your upbringing and connection to your roots a little bit. So there's really, you know, you have that passion behind it, which it shows.
Yeah, I think for a long time, I didn't feel comfortable like wearing a cowboy hat. I was like, I'm not a cowboy. I'm, you know, I don't know how to do anything. I don't know whether the fence, you push it in or you pull it out. Like, I don't know. I'm not a good horse rider. You know, my boots are pointy on the end. Like, I was like, I'm not a cowboy, and I don't want to be viewed as a poser. But the more that I did the work and the more that I like made connections in the space, people were like, yeah, you're as cowboy as they come because you stand by your word. Mm-hmm. and you do what you say you're going to do. And you show up over and over again, and you really are supporting the people around you. And that's way more cowboy than, you know, than any activity that you do. So I wear a cowboy hat now. I got it right here.
Yeah, throw it on.
Yeah, I rock these, and it's shaped right, and you know, and nobody ever questions me about why I have it on, you know. And if they do, I'm like, "What's the name of your rodeo?"
You know? Well, you mentioned your daughter, you know, participated in the rodeo last year. Like, what does it mean? I don't know if you have more than one, you know, kid, but how they enjoyed it, and you know, what does it mean to them?
Yeah, I've got three kids, Ruby, who's 7, and Ishmael, who's 5, and Manny, who's 15 months. And so, you know, them growing up around this, they just sort of take it for granted. Hmm. They're just like, dad does cowboy stuff, you know, and we're around cowboys all the time. I think they probably get more confused when they see like a white boy in a cowboy hat than they do when they see a black guy in a cowboy hat. Because this is so familiar to them. But
yeah,
this is really a family business. My son Ishmael rode in the mutton busting competition as well. He was really brave. He was back in the chutes before he got in, and he was slapping his chest and he was like hyping himself up, and all the bull riders are excited to see him like being aggro down in the chutes.
Yeah.
And Ruby rode a sheep in a leopard mini skirt and leggings and ended up dusting everybody else that rode in the competition. She's gonna really have to bring it this year. So we've been practicing. She's gotta practice her grip and really hold on real good. My wife, Heather, was the rodeo secretary, so she got everybody paid at the end, which is the most intense position in a rodeo. You know, you got guys that think they came in fourth that didn't. You know, you got guys that are arguing about how much money they're supposed to get paid out. And she handled that with a lot of grace. She had a big box of fruit snacks. And when the cowboys came up, they said, "Hey, Miss Heather, can I have a can I have some fruit snacks? And she said, oh yeah, absolutely. So they were, she literally sweetened them up. So there was less tension back there. Yeah. And we got through a lot of those conversations real smooth. So she did a great job. My mom cooked for everybody. She cooked for all the athletes. She cooked a brisket and green beans and mac and cheese. And she made a red velvet cake, which is what you eat on Juneteenth. So it's like, you know, my father-in-law hung up all the banners, made sure they were straight. Like, it was really a family affair. Yeah. Because they, you know, they want me to succeed, and that's the only labor I can afford. So it's a combination of a lot of love, yeah, and a lot of hard work to make this thing happen.
I love that. Well, before we go, I know you have the book coming out. Can you, you know, mention when it comes out, when people can where people can find it?
Yeah, it's 8 Seconds Black Rodeo Culture. It's published by a company called Damiani out of Italy. We, you know, tried to get the book published for a really long time, and they finally came on board and supported us, and it was a really easy conversation for them. So you can get it. I've got 500 copies. If you want to message me on Instagram, I'll bring one to your house. You know, I need to get rid of these books. Mm-hmm. And then otherwise, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be at Target. We're going to have an opening in May. Okay. At Powell's.
Oh, great.
Look for that. Yeah. So we're going to have an opening. You can come and get your book signed, and that'll be great. May the 5th is the date. And yeah, or you can just Google the name and look it up online. Order yourself a copy.
And what about the rodeo? I think there is a website, so I'd love for you to, you know, point people towards that too.
Yeah, the website is the number 8secondsrodeo.com. And yeah, there you can learn all about what we're doing. We're going to keep updating things as we develop our plan. You know, a lot of people plan these things like a long way in advance. A lot of people have their events locked down a year in advance. That's just not my style. Pressure makes diamonds. So the closer we get to the event, the harder I work. And we're going to really codify our plans in the next month. And so look to that website for updates and sign up to the wait list to figure out when tickets drop.
That's great. Ivan, I really appreciate you being on the show, and just, you know, love all the work you're doing, and looking forward to buying the book. And, you know, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate your time and having me on here.
The PDX Executive Podcast is a production of ThatCast, a Portland, Oregon podcast agency that partners with brands to create custom podcasts. You can learn more at thatcast.com. And please take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast as well.